Welcome to another episode of Pine Talk. My name is Justin, but you may know me as Porky of the Pine. I'm that guy that doesn't shut up about minimalist software, and I'm always tagging mods to report Spoom in the Pine 64 chats.
My name is Brian, also known by my handle of 33YN2. I'm a Pine 64 community team member and a moderator. I get bugged a lot by Justin. I like Pine stuff, and what's more to say?
What's more to say is this is a big episode. This is a big month.
Is it now?
Yeah, you saw that teaser. That thing was, it was like hand banana. Tonight, you. I didn't know what to think at first.
Yeah, I don't know either. I wonder what it is.
I think you know what it is. But before we get into that, we need to rapid fire some news. These are the little small bits of news that are important, but don't really have enough to them that we can have a full discussion on. So, let's get right into it. BitTorg has found the main issue that they were having with EG25 Manager that was causing all of the drops with the modem. So now the connection issues in the custom firmware should mostly be solved by this point, and it actually might be viable to be using totally free firmware on your PinePhone. Manjaro has released Beta 16, which features partial MMS support, so you can now receive MMS messages, but sending them is still a little iffy. Nemo had a ton of progress in the past month. They had translation improvements. Now English, Russian, Czech, Polish, and Finnish are all available on the UI. There have been gesture improvements. Notifications, screen lock, and the general performance have all improved on Nemo. The resolution now matches the PinePhone. Before it wasn't 1440x720, but now it is. And now you can import contacts from a .vcf file, which has some issues, but in most cases it's working without a hitch. And, of course, there have been a ton of bug fixes. Milo, of SXMO fame, has begun development on a minimalist map program named Meepo. It is currently in alpha, but the first tagged release is scheduled to release shortly. The famed Pine64 community developer, Martin, has ported Octoprint to the PinePhone, allowing users to manage their 3D printers and view progress of their prints all using the built-in camera. And we are thrilled to announce that the ROC Pro 64 has been granted system-ready IR certification by ARM. This is huge news not only for the ROC Pro 64, but the entire range of RK3399 devices. And speaking of ROC chip devices, we have a really big piece of exciting news this month.
Pine64 just announced a really exciting product, the PinePhone Pro. This is a PinePhone with a RK3399 SoC, just like the PineBook Pro. However, it's designated the RK3399S SoC because it is voltage locked and has a 1.5 gigahertz clock speed out of the factory. This is for thermal and power reasons, and it's probably best that you don't try and overclock anything, such as the GPU, which is not locked. However, you can expect it to still be very, very performant. It's only going to be about 20% slower than the PineBook Pro, but it will be a lot faster than the original A64-based PinePhone. And on that note, the original PinePhone will not be going away. It will still be manufactured, and this is not a PinePhone 2. This is just the PinePhone Pro. Just like the PineBook to PineBook Pro, it's not a number 2. It's just a continuation of that line. There will still be a PinePhone 2 in the future. Just right now, this is the Pro product that is presented. But it will support the same OpenGL ES 3.1 APIs. It will have a Vulkan 1.0 support with PanVK in the future, and you could potentially overclock it again, as I said, to 800 megahertz if you could figure out some solution for the thermals. It has 4 gigs of dedotated WAM, 128 gigs of eMMC storage. It can still boot from an SD card like the original PinePhone. However, it will rely on U-Boot to do so, as the RK3399 is designed to boot from eMMC first, unlike the A64 in the PinePhone, which was designed to boot from the SD card first. So you'll rely on U-Boot on the MMC to point to the SD card to boot. So if that breaks, you will have to use a ROC chip's recovery tool in order to repair the device. However, it hopefully won't be a problem. And either way, you'll have a recovery path if something does go wrong. It'll just be possibly a little bit of a pain to do it compared to the current PinePhone. As for the display, it has a 1440x720 IPS in-cell display with Gorilla Glass 4. It has a 13 megapixel rear Sony sensor, which is also covered by Gorilla Glass 4 to protect it and also give better image quality, as the original plastics used in the current PinePhone have a problem where it can cause some streaking in the image. And the glass covering the sensor in this PinePhone Pro will not have that. It has the same 5-megapixel front camera, which is used in the rear of the current PinePhone. It has Bluetooth 4.1, unfortunately. They didn't upgrade that. But the good news is it does have 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi. So it has Wi-Fi AC. It has, instead of USB 2.0 in the port, it has USB 3.0 with 15-watt quick charge and display out support as well, which means it will have much faster USB connectivity, which might be very useful for when you're docking it. There will also be full support for PinePhone back cover, such as the keyboard add-on. However, the PinePhone Pro will be 2 millimeters thicker than the original PinePhone.
Wait, while we're talking about the back covers, we do have to address the elephant in the room. Guess what? The PinePhone keyboard has actually entered production and will be available next month for purchase. You can go ahead, I'm sorry.
So this PinePhone will be a huge step forward from the original. It still has the same modem. It still has a same resolution display, basically. It does have a lot more storage. It has a lot more RAM, a much faster SoC. It should be a great leap forward in every regard, except for, like I said, the display and the fact that it has the same modem. But that's a good thing for the fact that you know it will be decent, it'll be solid, and the modem will be mostly reliable, and you have an option of getting open firmware for it. So this PinePhone is not going to be the magic ticket to getting you to a daily driver status with a Linux phone. It does have the same modem, which means that you could use the open source firmware that's there, and it has, from the factory, obviously the same firmware that comes with it. However, Plasma Mobile and Phosh and the other UI still have work to go in order to really make this a daily drivable device. MMS support, for example, Plasma Mobile still has some bugs that needs to be worked out, such as the suspend timer that's kind of bugged right now. And there's still some like cursor issues, for example, with selecting text in Plasma Mobile. But in the future, and even now, with the hardware improvements that are here, the extra storage, the faster USB, the faster SoC, all that good stuff combined means that you'll have a much smoother and faster experience that will bring you closer to daily driver status. And you'll still have the same great software support because it's really just carrying all over everything that happened. And it will still share that work too with the current PinePhone. That one's not going away again. It's going to be around. Pine64 will not stop manufacturing that until there's a PinePhone 2. So that means that these two devices can share their software work. And the PineBook Pro obviously will share a lot of its software work with the PinePhone Pro. So this will be a really, really good thing in the long run. You'll have a faster platform to play with. You'll have a lot better cameras. It will be sharing the same software, but don't expect it to just work. It's not a daily drivable phone for the masses yet. Pre-orders for the Explorer Edition will become available in November, and dispatch is expected in around January. That might be delayed a little bit because of the Chinese New Year till like February, around there, but rest assured that early next year, you will be getting your PinePhone Pro delivered. You'll be able to order it next month. And developers will be able to order their devices this month using a coupon system that is outlined in the Pine64 blog. Only developers will be able to get their hands on that edition, however, because it's meant to bring up the software and get things worked out before users get their hands on it in January/February. So with that out of the way, I suppose we can just go into the discussion about it now.
Yeah, let's talk about this. This is huge. This is like being told that, I don't know, Santa's coming tomorrow. Santa's coming today, just off the whim for the developers.
Oh, trust me, this has been like Santa's coming tomorrow every day of the week after hearing about this device.
Yeah.
And working on getting this out to, you know, the announcement and the blog and everything and this podcast. It's just super exciting. And the fact that this thing is going to be everything that the PinePhone is plus more, it's exactly what people wanted. The PinePhone was already a great device. It just lacked in the horsepower, like the GPU, for example, the MP2, Mali MP2 GPU in it. It just doesn't have enough horsepower to really drive things smoothly in all cases, right? But this PinePhone Pro, this thing has a great GPU that really has a lot of potential. This device will really outcompete, you know, the PinePhone and other Linux phone devices, and it will be a great convergence device as well as a result. It's basically a PinePhone Pro in your pocket. Just imagine hooking it up to a keyboard add-on, plugging into your monitor, or even like, you know, do your work on there, go to the park, unplug it, you know, and you could use it as a little laptop right where you are. Same files and everything on there, same apps and programs and everything. It would just be awesome idea.
Yeah, I daily drive my PinePhone, which I know everyone who's talked to me in the PinePhone chat knows, because I don't shut up about it. And my biggest hang up is the actual performance. It's very sluggish a lot of times. Even running SXMO, it can have a hard time doing a lot of things. It's miserable to try to run Firefox, and especially try to use Discord on Firefox. It kills the battery life, which I don't know how much we mentioned the actual efficiency of this, but the PinePhone Pro is expected to have a much better battery efficiency despite having the same battery. And I'm just thrilled. The potential is insane. It's not going to be comparable to a flagship Android device or an iPhone, obviously, but it's still going to be the equivalent of like a low-end or a mid-tier phone from, what, 2017 or something like that, which I run I also have a OnePlus 6T. That was kind of the mid-tier at that time, and it works great. So I can only imagine just how snappy, how productive I could be with LaTeX on a PinePhone Pro. I don't know. I'm always amused with the fact that I have LaTeX on my phone.
I mean, the great thing is it really is basically a 2017 device. I mean, I wouldn't say it's a flagship from 2017. I'm not really sure it's quite on par with those even, but it kind of has mixed and match elements of different devices. It has a lot more storage than a lot of modern devices have, for example. It has the convergence ability that would be hands down the best if the software works out, you know, in, say, Plasma Mobile, for example, simply because it runs a full Linux desktop stack. So it, with a convergence UI, you know, so you could hook it up to a monitor and use it as an actual desktop or laptop machine, unplug it, and on the go, you have the same power in your hands. And that's something that Androids just cannot compare to. I know that they have the convergence features in a lot of phones, like Samsung DeX, for example, and stuff that they did, but it's just not the same.
That's the only one I can actually name. Yeah, and even then, yeah, it's still limited, and I know, or one of my coworkers uses it, and he's basically used it to replace his desktop at home, which is nice, but he has definitely complained about how the user interface, just in general, like, if he's trying to use, like, the Discord app on Samsung DeX, it's still the Discord app. It's not, like, he actually has to go through Chrome and run Discord through DeX to actually get it to look like Discord on desktop, and he hates that. He's not really familiar with Discord as is, and the user interface on mobile, as you know, is terrible. So something like the PinePhone Pro running essentially desktop Linux and having the performance to actually handle it decently, I mean, Discord's a bad example because there isn't an ARM-based Discord, but
well, you could run it in the browser, though.
Exactly, yeah, you could run it in the browser, and it'll be not snappy, that might be a stretch, but it'll run great. Got an extra gigabyte of RAM compared to the Convergence Edition, 4 times the storage of the Convergence Edition. It's basically everything we could want. I actually personally think that this is going to have a huge impact in mobile Linux. Like, obviously, it's not daily driver ready. It won't be daily driver ready probably for at least another year. But we have just gotten considerably closer to a normal person who knows nothing about Linux being able to hold and use a Linux phone and not have any problem, and it just replaced their Android or iPhone.
And I mean, aside from that, this thing will be, it's just, not only is it a huge step forward from the original PinePhone, but it does have some, like I said, it does have some interesting mix and match features from new phones. So it's not, like, even if you're coming into this, like, let's say one day mainline Linux phones are stable and ready for just any average normie to pick up and use, right? I don't think it will be too much of a stretch for them to really not notice much of a difference between phones. Yeah, okay, new phones have, like, two cameras on them, and they have extra sensors, and they have, like, a 2K display, for example, or, well, for the lower-end ones, more like a 1080p one or whatever. But still, it will be fast, it'll be snappy, it will have a decent-looking display. It's not probably going to blow you out of the water, but it will work fine. And actually, on the note of the display, it has a interesting, so it's an in-cell display, an IPS in-cell display, which means that it has the touch receiver, like the display panel touch receiving digitizer part, inside the actual LCD itself. So it's all packed together, and it actually results in clearer images, like more vibrant text and stuff like that. Now, I'm sure modern phones have that already, but it's just nice to see that compared to the old Pine phone. This is a big update and bringing it more in line with a modern device. Now, it would have been nice if it was an OLED, but you know, it is what it is. It's still going to be a decent LCD. And you also see a lot of mainstream devices still shipping with normal IPS displays. It's not a horrible thing. OLEDs do have some trade-offs, and obviously they are more expensive as well. So like the Steam Deck, for example, they went with an IPS display. I don't think if it's a good IPS display that it will be a bad thing. And it will be much better one than the current Pine phone, for example, at least in theory with the glass and the in-cell technology. So here's hoping that it will look really great. You won't really have too many issues with it compared to a modern device. And top that off, the fact that this thing has a modern camera sensor means that it will finally be able to be taking images that are comparable to modern devices without too many issues. Because keep in mind, devices like the Google Pixel and stuff, they don't have like thousands of megapixels in them or anything like that. Like I know some phones will have like 45 megapixel sensors. What they do is they use software tricks to make the images look better.
Really good software.
Yeah, but if we can make an open source software stack, you know, Martin with Megapixels, he's already really doing a lot of good work on that regard. And there's somebody that just released a script actually to add into Megapixels that would add image stacking and also AI upscaling. Now, yeah, it would take a while to process that on the Pine phone's hardware, but it if you let it sit for a while and do the processing, you can get really, really good photos with that. And just imagine with the improvements over time in terms of that software, making it a little bit more efficient, if that's possible, and over time getting more powerful PinePhone hardware. Because this is not the end, obviously. Pine 64 will continue pushing forward. Like maybe 3 or 4 years from now, we might see another PinePhone Pro. I'm assuming here. I don't know the exact dates that they would expect. And also right now, you know, the world is in chaos, so it's not like you can expect something. Because, you know, 3 years from now, we still might be in the same boat where we're lacking chips and stuff, and it might be a pain for them to produce anything. But for example, like a PinePhone 2 and stuff like that, we could more likely than not expect that to happen, and they would probably be the gap, you know, that we need to catch up to modern. Like I could expect maybe the next PinePhone Pro having an OLED display especially. Now, yeah, it might cost a little bit more, but it could have like an OLED display. It will obviously have a faster processor too, you know, like I could only imagine, you know, they put an RK3399 in here. What about an RK3588? In the next one, they worked with Rockchip to get this RK3399S going. You know, they took an RK3399 and they binned them, so they selected ones that were ideal. They voltage locked them so they can't go higher than the clock speed and use more voltage than, you know, would cause thermal problems, obviously, and battery life problems. And they made a really nice chip for this phone. So who's to say with a more efficient node on the RK3588 and Rockchip's help to voltage lock that and get that binned and everything, that it couldn't be an even nicer phone going forward, you know? We'll be closer to modern devices. That would be an 8-nanometer chip. It would have really powerful cores in it. It would have a great GPU. That would be a really nice future. But that said, that's really aside from the point. You know, PinePhone Pro as it is now is a huge step up, and I'll be more than happy to use that alone.
And I want to go back to your mention of the average person using a phone. The layperson isn't a nerd like us. They don't care about the resolution or the display type. Like, they don't see OLED. They see it looks good. It looks pretty. The colors are nice. This red looks like it's red. That sort of thing. And that's not to insult anyone's intelligence. It's just generally the PinePhone Pro as is. Again, performance-wise, it's not going to compare to a brand new flagship phone, but the average person isn't going to be looking at... I mean, they're going to want fast, of course, but they're not going to be looking at display things. They just want good camera, and it can run their apps well. So once we get that software support to actually have amazing cameras, or a decent camera, I should say, and we can actually support probably through Wagedroid, most likely, most of the, you know, online banking and apps like that, then I think we actually can see, I could foresee someone recommending Ubuntu Touch to someone who just wants to get away from Android and iOS and they heard of the PinePhone and they were interested, but they don't know anything about Linux.
I could definitely see that happening, although the one thing that I would like to point out is that it is a $399 device. So there's the Google Pixel, for example, that's more mainstream at that price. I would say it's unlikely that an average person would want to buy the PinePhone Pro because they'd be like, what is this company? I've never heard of it. And, you know, so it's a great device for enthusiasts and, you know, people that are into tech and stuff. And I'm sure it will sell really well for that reason alone once the software is in better shape. But as it stands, I can't, like, for a long time from now, can't really see the PinePhone Pro being picked up in the mainstream too much. It will be viable, I'm sure, but, you know, it just won't
be picked up in the mainstream. It definitely won't. Like, we're not going to see, you know, Android, iOS, Pine. Like, it's going to be a lot more subtle. Like, I think it'll be people who, like, because I know we've had people come into the PinePhone chats before saying, I don't know anything about Linux. I heard about this phone, and I just really hate Google. I really hate Android and iOS. I don't want them spying on me and all that. They're just, you know, concerned about privacy, and they're like, I heard this is a really good privacy phone. Like, is this a good idea to buy? And everyone's like, if you don't know anything about Linux and you're not like a tinkerer or anything, this is not a phone you should buy. And I always joke with my friends and everyone that that they should get a PinePhone and stuff, but like after a while I'm like, okay, realistically I don't think you should get a PinePhone because you'd have a terrible time with this. But I think with a PinePhone Pro, we're getting there. We're not there.
Yeah.
We won't be there for a good while still, but we are definitely getting there.
Maybe another like year or two, probably more like 2 years from now, we already have the hardware, you know, then from there we just need the software to really get polished up, and it's already really close. It just needs some bug fixes, needs some improvements, like say GPS, for example, needs some improvements on accuracy, which can be done. It just requires people to wire in the compass data, for example, from the sensors, and, you know, then we'll be set to go. We'll have a really solid experience. Now, yeah, Waydroid will be a different can of worms. I'm sure that will take longer to sort out. But if you're just doing like calls and texts and MMS and, you know, web browsing and maybe some office work and stuff, like, for example, you could probably run some kind of Node app or something into the, you know, as a matter of fact, you can run Node apps and stuff like that on the PinePhone, but then hook it into a monitor, you can do like Excel and stuff like that. So that would be pretty useful, I would assume, for people. And so
either Excel or the minimalist equivalent, I forget which one it is, but there's one that uses Vim keys.
But I mean, there's already lots of good software that works great in that regard. So if we just get the bugs sorted out and maybe some of the remaining issues like the compass data and GPS, for example, to make it a little more accurate, then we'll be set to go. This will be a really nice phone. Now, yeah, it's not going to have as good a battery life as a modern phone with like 3 nanometers of a node on the CPU and the SoC, right? And it like, which has like ultra low power, like quad core clusters, so it has like eight cores in it, and that can really kick in horsepower but then use really low power. It's not going to be that, but for people that want to get freedom of their, you know, privacy, and their that they want to have a little bit more like freedom to customize and control their phone and do what they want, and also the thought that they can use it as a convergent device, you know, it could be a little mini like Chromebook in your hand if you wanted it to.
It literally will be a mini Chromebook.
It will be. And if you don't want that, I mean, you don't need to really care about that. You can just use it as a phone if you wanted to. But there's a lot of value here in different aspects. And the camera is pretty decent. It's not the best thing in the world, but with some software trickery, just like Google does with their phones, you know, which I'm sure will come over time, we could really start to see some really nice results out of this hardware. And I'm sure over time, like I said, Pine 64 will march on with new devices. It will take, it's not going to come right away, mind you. This just came out, and, you know, right now things are in a mess in the global economy and stuff. So it's not, they're definitely not going to have like tomorrow a new phone. Keep that in mind. This is going to be what we got for a little while, you know, but it's a great little upgrade for people that want it. And then on the low end, if you don't want to upgrade, like if you just want to do calls and like basics, like the Pine phone that we have now can do, you can go and buy that and do that. Pine 64 is not getting rid of that. And then if you want to pay a little bit more to get some good oomph behind it and more feature set, go to the PinePhone Pro.
Yeah, a good example that I remember that I can actually apply now, but a good example was very early on, I remember hearing that the PinePhone is essentially a Raspberry Pi with calling features, or like with phone features. So it's more of an experimental device. You want to tinker and you want to have an ARM-based Linux phone, then it's the best thing you could buy, and it's also cheap, you know, $150 for the base 2 gigabyte PinePhone, and that's great that we're going to be able to, that we're still having that. And that's still going to be something sold, because if you just want something to tinker with, you don't necessarily want a phone, then that's perfectly acceptable. It's just, or it's perfectly fine to use. And you can get by with the 2 gigabyte, with a 2 gigabyte PinePhone. But now for people who want a phone, the PinePhone Pro is now, or yeah, the PinePhone Pro is now available, or will be available. I guess it's available for developers only, but having a PinePhone Pro will be good for the people like me who were just really adamant on running a Linux phone and being that guy, and it'll actually work, and it'll work great.
Well, let's hope it does work great. I mean, still, the hardware should work great, but the software, that's, you know, going to need some work to be, yeah, but we'll get there. But on the other hand, though, I will say this. It might be a more expensive PinePhone, but don't think that it's not for tinkering either. It's still going to have pogo pins and kill switches and stuff, just like the old one, or the current one, I should say, because that one's not going away either. It's going to be sold alongside this one, and it will be the lower-end model, obviously, but it will still be there. But you could still do tinkering with the PinePhone Pro if you wanted to. It has the pogo pins. It runs the same software. It does mainline Linux, just because, you know, the PinePhone Pro does mainline Linux. It has the same SoC, just modified a little bit by Rockchip, right? So it will be a full tinkerer's paradise in your hand, but also a phone. You know, it will work great as a phone and also a little computer, a Chromebook. So it'll be exciting.
Yeah, this is going to be very exciting. And I'm going to do my best to buy one as soon as I possibly can, as soon as, like, day one that they're available for end users.
You kidding me? The keyboard and the PinePhone Pro, they're already sold for me. I'm money's down on the table. It's mine.
Yeah, I was on the fence with the keyboard because I was like, because I'm actually just using my PinePhone, like, the keyboard kind of kills the phone usage of it. But it's like, PinePhone
Pro.
Now
you have a laptop. Now you have a laptop in your pocket. Why not? You know?
Yeah, or I can keep I could put the keyboard on my PinePhone and have that for if I ever need, like, a spare laptop, which I have been, or I want the PineNote to replace my my ThinkPad, because just lugging around a ThinkPad is less than ideal. And, or, you know. And if I can just replace it, I mean, the performance is going to be a huge performance hit, but to just use my regular PinePhone for having a mini keyboard and then using it for presentations. I've done a LaTeX presentation, or I've done a presentation using a LaTeX Beamer presentation, or Beamer document, I guess, using my PinePhone. I used the Convergys dock, I connected it to a TV, and I gave a full-on presentation with a little handheld keyboard to actually change the slides and everything, and it worked great. So I could still do that with a PinePhone with a keyboard. Is just, you know, an extra, what, $60 that I'm gonna have to drop.
Well, you see, I see the PinePhone keyboard as kind of a, you know, okay, sure, it's not gonna be like you're gonna be holding the PinePhone to your head anymore when you have that on, because it's gonna be bulky and a bit weird to hold it up, and the microphone, for example, is not gonna be like directly under your mouth anymore, right? But if you use a headset, like a Bluetooth wireless headset, then you could do that just fine. Ooh, you know, true. I got a pair of Aeropex Aftershocks Bluetooth headphones, which are bone conducting headphones, so my ears are always open to sound, so I can hear everything around me. I can drive and listen to music still, for example, but also I could pair it up to my PinePhone and do calls and stuff, and just, you know, be just fine. It would have noise canceling microphones inside the headphones and everything, so it should be set to go. And then I would have the keyboard add-on for, like, texting and stuff. Like, if I need to do a text real quick, I hate the virtual keyboard on phones. It's just so annoying for me to peck at the things. There's no feedback to them, right? I'm hoping the PinePhone keyboard will change that. Like, I'll actually enjoy using it. And I mean, it will be small keys, but they'll be tactile ones that move and have travel to them. And on top of that, you have the 6,000 milliamp hour battery inside the keyboard, which means it will charge up your PinePhone and keep it going all day. And take the PinePhone Pro and add that to the equation, and you got yourself a phone that will last a long time on a battery charge. And I think that will be awesome.
I didn't mention the power. I mean, we've mentioned it multiple times at this point, the power of having that keyboard on a PinePhone Pro. It's literally a portable laptop. There are probably Chromebooks out there that are considerably weaker than the PinePhone Pro.
Oh yeah, there definitely is. I mean,
and the fact that, I mean, Chrome OS just doesn't work anyway.
Well, I mean, okay, so Chrome OS is fine on its own, I guess, for average, you know, web browsing and stuff, but let's put that aside. So some Chromebooks, I'm not sure about nowadays Chromebooks. I haven't really looked into the market, but at least like as of like maybe a year and a half ago, for example, there were some Chromebooks on sale that were pretty weak. Like they had like a really low clock speed and they only had like four A53 cores, for example. They just weren't fast, right? But this thing has four A53 cores, plus two A72 cores, plus a decent GPU that's clocked less than the Pinebook Pro, but still at a reasonable clock speed. So it should be really snappy and well, it is actually snappy. It's already been shown in Martin's demo video of the PinePhone, actually. But yeah, it is really snappy. It's smooth, it's fast, at least for phone, but I'm sure it will be super snappy for even just web browsing and stuff on a monitor. I mean, the Pinebook Pro is pretty fast as on its own.
Let's actually talk about the GPU, because I forgot that I wanted to actually mention this. This thing can handle 3D gaming.
Oh, yeah. It can do Super Tux Kart. It could do, like, Doom, for example. I mean, the old PinePhone could, too, but this thing could actually manage, like, Doom 2, for example. Well,
it can allegedly handle Dreamcast emulation.
Yeah, it can do Dreamcast emulation. But, so, all right, so it could probably do, like, a newer Doom. Like, not the newest ones. I'm not talking about that at all, but like a 19 from something like a 2000s.
Yeah, not Doom 3.
I'm thinking like isn't there a Doom 2, something like that? There's like an open source Doom project that is a really old Doom that's been open sourced, and that has been shown to run on the Radaxa Zero board, and that has a weaker SoC in overall, I would say, compared to the RK3399S. So now that we have the RK3399S in the PinePhone, I'm sure that could actually drive that game and do decently. I'm not going to say it's going to run amazingly or anything, but should be playable, and that would actually be pretty interesting, the idea that you can run old games like that, like Morrowind and stuff like that, and do it at a reasonable frame rate, possibly.
I'm definitely going to be putting RuneScape to the test, of course. I mean, I already have RuneScape on my PinePhone, and I get about 8 FPS on average, so hopefully I can hit that 50 cap.
I'm sure you will. On the the internal revolution, I think that won't be a problem.
And the big problem is the lack of GPU acceleration. That's the reason why that's the reason why I'm getting only 8 FPS, because I don't have any GPU acceleration. If I can get that, which it has support for OpenGL, it's going to be amazing. I can try even Runelite HD now, where you can play.
Well, this has newer
with HD graphics and
Well, this has newer OpenGL support, so that shouldn't be a problem at all. I mean, you should be able to run RuneScape and Blender even now. I mean, I know people hacked Blender to run on the original PinePhone, but it had to be an older version to get it running, or a patched version. But now it's probably going to be likely that you could just get normal Blender running, because it supports OpenGL 3.1 ES. And also, it supports, as well, Vulkan 1.0 if you use PanVK, which, mind you, is in a really, really early stage, so I'm not sure how well that will work. But in the future, that could actually run, hopefully, pretty well, you know, and then we could do a lot more with that.
What I'm actually interested to see is I have a kind of old netbook at this point. I don't know if it's... Yeah, I think it is a netbook. It's from 2015. It had 2 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes of eMMC storage. And I want to see how that compares to the PinePhone Pro. Which I'm guessing, like, I know I could play Stardew Valley on it, and I could actually play it pretty well. I could play Endless Sky. I was really good with, it was good for 2D games.
Yeah, and I think the PinePhone Pro will run those kind of games great. I'm actually thinking that would be a lot of fun to play, you know, Stardew Valley and maybe FTL and stuff like that on there. That, you know, small 2D indie games like that would be a lot of fun. And they probably run really, really well on the PinePhone Pro's hardware, just because of the extra GPU oomph behind it alone. I mean, let alone the CPU power that's there. So with the PinePhone Pro out of the way, since we've talked a lot about that, and I mean, I'm sure we'll have more information in the future about it. But for now, we have a few remaining bits of news.
The blog post does cover a few more things. It is definitely mostly the PinePhone Pro, but Infinitime did release not just version 1.5.0 in this past month, but 2 days later, they released version 1.6.0. And that's because they found the issue that was causing the Bluetooth to constantly disconnect. And so as soon as they found that, they patched it out. And I still have problems with Bluetooth connections, but that's because I'm on SXMO and it's not running in the background and it's a whole thing. But the other big thing with the version 1.5.0, not only does the time persist through a reboot now, but also there is an alarm app, which I can say I have been using every single day since I updated to 1.5.0. As soon as I heard that there was an alarm app, I still use my Android phone as a backup because I'm still mildly concerned about PinePhone alarms, which I think everyone is at this point. But so far, it has actually woken me up every single time, and I think it's been maybe a minute or two early for a good reason. It's actually probably closer to like 10 seconds early, and the buzzing is nice, and it's a very light waking up experience. And then the last news we have is on the Pine Note. The initial production run has rolled off the factory floor, and developer pre-orders should be going live today. But that's all I have. Brian, do you have anything else?
Nope.
All right, well, I think this wraps up this episode. Let us know how you thought this episode went compared to the last one. We are definitely trying a lot of different things, and being in it, I liked it a lot more, but it's up to you. You guys really control what we do. But if that's all that we have, till next time.